crazy thing. I don't even know how that girl's like in the second grade, maybe. I wouldn't do that right now. And she just got up there and just went on after it. Just crazy. Wow. Well, two Sunday nights in a row, I have to read the scriptures that I went to in the morning because it's in my head. And I'm sitting here looking at my notes in Sunday morning. I'm going, I know a good verse for here, and it's in the PM. I did it last week. I did it this week. So it's just the way my poor brain doesn't work like it used to. But fortunately, at least it was a real verse. So tonight, turn, if you would, Matthew chapter 6, 31 through 34. Matthew 6, 31 through 34. We're still talking about kingdom. Kingdom seeking will bring increase. Now that is so hard for people, and I realized that this morning I'm going to risk saying that this morning I probably offended a couple of people, maybe a couple of hundred, talking about the shoeboxes too much. But I'm going to risk that because tonight I should preach this on Sunday morning. This sermon explains why it is that people don't associate. Well, let me just preach the sermon. Here we go. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all those things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things, I should say all those other things, will be added to you. What you eat, what you drink, what you wear, that's going to be added because he knows what you need. But seek first the kingdom of God. We're on the kingdom today. Therefore, verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Father, this morning was a good day in your house. I was blessed just all day. And Lord, now I pray that you would help us to consider what we hear tonight. I believe it would help us, Lord, if we would hear it and apply it. So help us. Help us in these next very few moments. In Jesus' name I pray. Build your kingdom among us. Thank you, Father, for who you are. Bless us. Amen. Amen. This passage of Scripture, and I referred to it this morning. My Bible's still open to it. This passage of Scripture explains why people struggle with turning their crowns over to the kingship of Jesus Christ. And what I came to this conclusion, obviously this sermon was already written before I preached this morning, but it got reinforced and ground into my head this morning. People do not associate their day-to-day living, like expenses or work or whatever else they have going on, with their spiritual lives. And they say, well, I do worry. I do worry about where the next plate's coming from, and the next, you know, water bill payment, and the next mortgage payment, and the next car payment, and the second car payment, and the boat, and the camper. And that is what we worry about. Can I just stop right there long enough to tell you? I've never seen a purse in my life that was worth $200, but my wife tells me you can buy them all day long. Wow. A purse to hold the money you don't have because you bought the purse. That's all I can say about that. But back to the sermon. You get where I'm going, right? You get where I'm going? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you really do need will be taken care of. God will provide and help you provide. But see, we want that to read, seek first the kingdom of God on Sunday, and the other 6 days, you'll get anything you want. That's how that deal works. And that is not how that deal works. I call it sort of a dichotomy. Y'all know what a dichotomy is? It's a divided thought process. And we think spiritually on Sunday, but we don't think spiritually the rest of the week. And we say, nobody else is going to worry about that but me. And you can come up to me after church if this has happened to you. And there are great stories where, while it won't be what I say, many of you will say, oh yeah, oh yeah. Most of us are not going to get a check in the mail signed at the bottom by Jesus Christ and say, here's the money for your mortgage and your car note this month. Go out and blow it. That's not coming. Now, some of you have had miraculous answers to prayer, financial, just great things. But by and large, that's not what this verse is talking about, by and large. And so the dichotomy of thought is, I must worry about my day-to-day life, but I don't worry about spiritual things. I trust God for spiritual things, but I worry about day-to-day things that I can't let God be involved in that because he's too far away. He doesn't do it the way I want it. And you see right there, who's wearing the crown? That makes sense to you? Who's wearing the crown when you're saying, I have to take care of my stuff, I can't entrust that to Jesus? Who's wearing the crown? You're wearing the crown. That's easy. So, people say to me, boy, it's easy to say don't worry. It's what it says here. Do not worry. Do not worry. Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lily. I'm just reading back. Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. I think I told y'all this last week. Do I have any grandsons in here? Maybe not. They come in. We want anything that says Under Armour. And what'd they add this week? Nike. Anything that says Nike or Under Armour so that we're hip and cool and fitting in at the school. That rhymes. I just made that up. Oh, there's one right there. And he ain't even paying attention. Thank God. Why does a five-year-old know he needs Nike or Under Armour? He can't even know what that means. FUBU. If I say FUBU, does anybody in here know what FUBU is? One or two. Nobody else wants to admit it. Thank you. For us, by us. That's what that means. For us, by us. FUBU. Y'all think I don't know nothing, don't you? Yeah, I'm as hip as they come. For an old man. Don't laugh too much right down there. I'm not cool and I'm not hip. If I say hip, it's generally the pain I feel right there. I ain't hip. So I get it. I get it. The world is screaming at us that we got to wear the right clothes or we don't fit in. That's a tough place to put kids or parents. That's why so many schools today have uniforms. What does that word mean? Uniform. What is the meaning of the word? All alike. That way you can't have this rich kid over there wearing khakis and a blue shirt any different than the poorest kid who has khakis and a blue shirt. Their uniform takes away that difficulty. But then you're Chinese. What was that guy's name? Mao Zedong. He said everybody's going to wear gray clothes, boys and girls alike. Everybody's going to wear the same clothes. We're comrades. We're going to look alike. We're going to talk alike. We're going to walk alike. Everybody's going to be equal. So I got a little bitty problem with uniforms, but I get the point too. See, we worry about those things. We worry about those things. I'm going to give you two ends of a chart. First one, second one. Two ends of a chart. First one is not enough worry. Now, biblically, you should say, well, that'd be a good thing. Not enough worry. But if I said not enough worry, meaning that's probably not a good thing. The two ends of the spectrum are almost never good things. Here it is. Short version, I'll worry about that next month. That's the answer to not enough worry. I don't know if you have one of these, but they make these little plastic discs. They're kind of rectangular. They're about 3.5 inches long and about 2.25 inches tall. They fit in all kinds of machines, gas pumps, cash registers. You just stick them in there and they give you whatever you want. Practically free. Practically free. And for 30 days, you ain't got to even worry about it. You don't even have to give it another thought. But next month, the bill comes and you go, when was I the, what, I didn't, woo, I can't pay that bill. Then you say, I got a plan. I'm going to divide it by three and pay it over 3 months in easy installments. But the next month, you see something you can't live without, plug in the little plastic disc, and the next month the bill comes, and now you still have 2 months of easy payments from the month before, and now you got to add that to this month's purchases. I'm not going to ask you if anybody knows what I'm talking about. I'm going to give you a fact. The average U.S. household credit card debt is $16,140. If you don't know much about credit cards, just say praise God to yourself. If your wife doesn't go out and spend a lot of money, just hug her right now and kiss her. And say, thank you, baby. Now, see, right now, if you don't kiss your wife, see, everybody's going to think she's part of that 16,000 load. I don't know what the average, I didn't get this one. I found out what the average credit card debt was, but I didn't find out what the average monthly purchase was. But can I suggest to you it's probably not $5,000 or $10,000 out of whack? Probably not. That builds up over time. A little bit at a time, until pretty soon you're standing in water that deep. You got your head tilted back and you can barely breathe. One unexpected little wave and you're under. It happens every day. Every day people lose their house. Every day people lose their cars. Every day couples divorce. Every day our world is torn apart. Because people want more than they can have. You think that's pleasing to God? I mean, just be real honest. See, in the dichotomy of thought, we say, that don't matter to God. He's not concerned with whether or not I'm behind on my house note. When I show up on Sunday and everybody says, how you doing? I go, fine, fine, wonderful, praise God, glory, glory. But tomorrow I know they might come take my car keys. But on Sunday, I'll just be fine with Jesus. But the other 6 days, man, my life's a wreck. Because I have this dichotomy of thought that Jesus is not, cannot be, and will not be involved in my day-to-day living. So I don't know why in the world he would have put in here, do not worry about what you eat or what you drink. Or what you wear. That's the things the Gentiles, the unbelievers, seek after. I wonder why Jesus would have said that if he did not want to be involved in our daily lives. I think he does. People go into deep debt. They think they can handle it. And maybe they could. A couple of the things. I mean, you know, man alive, people go, I don't know what to do, Pastor. My refrigerator went out. I had to have it, and I didn't have the money, so I had to buy a refrigerator on credit. I got a really good deal. I got that stainless steel double door. It was only $1,600. It was $2,200, and they marked it down to $1,600. I saved $600. But I went in debt $1,600. See what, can you do the math there with me? If you don't have $1,600, get a $450 white one with one door. I know how disappointing that is to hear. But when you open it, okay, go ahead and get the $460 model with a light in it. When you open the light, open the door, the light comes on and it's cold. Just like the $1,600 one. Then shut the door, kiss it, and say, thank you for saving me a lot of money. Husband, kiss your wife again right now. Just keep her happy. Keep her happy. It's not the women. Good grief. My wife tells me, you know, well, every time she tells me she needs something and I tell her she doesn't, she goes, how many guns do you own? Isn't that true? That's a true statement. She looks at me and she says, how many guns do you own? She said, how many can you shoot at a time? I go, one, but I can pick up another one right behind it. So that's our discussion. I don't know how it works at your house. But generally, could be a golf club. For some of you, it's a golf club. For some of you, it's a stinking vehicle. It's something expensive. So the women spend all year and the men wait and do it right. Big, big, huge, big items. Do you understand? I'm really not joking. I'm saying our country wants to live at a level that some of us can't live at. Now, let me tell you something kind of crazy. A lot of people who live like that do not tithe at church. Even though they go to the church one day a week, the other six kills them, and they go, oh, I'd love nothing better. Pastor, I'd love to fill that box right there. I'd love to. I just don't have it. I just don't have the money. Would you have had the money? Could you have had the money? I've never sat down with anybody yet that if you take their income and their budget, that there's not money left over. That's hardly ever the issue. And I've made lots and I've made not much. And never was there a time when we were late paying bills because there wasn't money. That's never been our issue. It's what can you have and how much do you spend? It's a choice. So those people who overextend themselves and are deep in debt do not tithe and support the kingdom of God, which God kind of demands under his kingship, because our kingship, the other 6 days, won't allow it. God really does want to be involved in your other 6 days. That's what I want you to know. Now, the other end of the chart. If one end of the chart is not enough worry, what do you think the other end of the chart might be? Too much worry. Worrying too much. See, you go from not worried enough where you get yourself in trouble and you say, oh, we'll just pay it off next month. Or we'll just pay on it next month. Woo. I'll risk it. I have a pretty decent friend. He's not nearly as old as me, but he's not young either. And we were talking one day, and he said something about school debt. And I looked at him kind of funny, and I said, you have school debt? He looked at me, and he said, oh, I've had school debt for years. I said, well, yeah. You've been out of college for years. I said, shouldn't you have paid it off in 10 years? He said, oh, I've been making interest payments for years. He said, I quit paying on the principal years ago. He said, I just pay the interest every month. It's all I can handle. He's gonna die, and his children are going to have his college debt, because he ain't even trying. There's an interest, bank. There's a bank or a loan company somewhere who every year send him a Christmas card and said, thank you for making us so rich. Wow. And he said it like it wasn't no big deal. I said, dude, you can't do that. He said, oh, yeah, they don't care. Just make the payment. Just make the interest payment and hold the principal. Jeez. Didn't seem concerned. Did not seem concerned. That's just the way it is. Kind of freaked me out a little bit. I don't care for debt that much, though. I don't. It's a management tool. I'm not against debt. I'm against more debt than you can handle and buying stuff you don't need because debt's too easy. That's my deal. But we're not on that anymore. We're now on too much worry. Yes, too much worry. Here's Matthew 6, just before this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now that's, you understand, the key verse. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And where your heart is where your crown is. And if your treasure is in you and your stuff, it's not in the kingdom of God. And so not enough worry is bad, and too much worry is also bad. We've all heard of people who had great wealth but feared losing it, so they hoarded it away, only to die seemingly poor, but come to find out very rich. That's sad on so many levels. It isn't funny, and I hate to tell the same story. It's my best one ever. I've told y'all about them many, many times. It's a couple that lived in Roxy, Mississippi. They lived in a little shotgun house. That's what we called it. It was just a straight little box, like a cracker box. And this couple sat out on the front porch, and they dressed in literal rags. And we would go by there, and my daughter would say, "Are we going to go by the clown house?" That's what she thought. They were dressing as clowns. That's how bad it was. She would say, "Are we going to go by the clown house?" And we'd say, "Yeah, we're going to go by the clown house." And we would drive by, and neither one of us would look, but she would look out the window. We'd just look because we didn't want to look at him, and she'd be, they're out there, they're out there. They were millionaires. They had oil. They had timber. They owned land. They got checks that they didn't even cash from I shouldn't even ever tell this, but I think maybe the lady that did it died. I think she won't get in trouble anymore. She told us this. She said Ashland Oil Company has to call them and ask them to please cash their checks because they just put them in a drawer. They didn't need it. They were millionaires, and they died paupers. Let me make an announcement. Let me just make an announcement. If you have $1 million in the bank but won't spend it, you're broke. Ponder that a little bit. If you have $1 million sitting in the bank but you won't touch it, you're broke. And your worry, like the person on this end who doesn't worry enough and gets deep in debt, you got the same problem because you won't spend any money, and so you can't have anything. I know I've told this too. This freaks me out. Freaks me out. I'm at a meeting in Kansas City. Well, Olathe, it was at Mid-America. And it was a church planting. We were talking about planting churches. And I get in a conversation with a guy from Iowa. And he said, "Boy, I'd love to plant a church." And he named a town. I've never even heard of the town. He said, "We have some couples that come from that town now, drive all the way over." And he said, "I've talked to them, and they'd love to have a church, not only closer for them, but to reach their community." I said, "Man, it was exciting. I was excited." And I said, "Man, that's exciting." I said, "Will it hurt you to lose 3 or 4 couples out of your church?" He said, "I don't really think so." He said, "A lot of times when you do that, it generates excitement. Both churches grow." And I said, I believe that with everything in me. And we talked a little bit, and I was really concerned because it's a smaller church. It's small. And I was concerned about the financial responsibility of trying to start a new church. And he said, "We've got almost $250,000 in the bank." And I said, "Hold on. What did you just say?" He said, "Yeah, we got $240,000 in the bank in a CD." He said, "But they won't touch it." He said, "They'd never spend any of that money to start another church." I said, "Well, what are they doing with it?" He said, "They're saving it for a rainy day." He said, "If the offerings ever aren't enough, we can survive for a long time on that money." I said, you're not going to survive any time at all on that money. They won't spend it. They're broke. That church was broke. And it's sitting there with $250,000 in the bank. Wow. I told y'all, if y'all are new tonight, you're saying, wow, I've never heard that. The old people are going, my gosh, he needs to get some new stories. I would love to. I had a guy call me, and he said, can we meet? I got to have a plan to grow my church, and I want to, you know, talk to you. And I said, sure. So we met at a restaurant between us and sat down, and the lady came. You know how they come up and said, can I get you anything else to drink? And I said, you know what? Would it bother you if we just sat here and talk? And she's like, no. I said, good. I don't think we need a thing to drink. She said, bam, I'm out of here. We paid her, gave her a tip. She left us alone. We sat there, and we tried to formulate a plan that would, for his church, what based on what he said. And I said, what'd the board say? And he said, oh, they were all for it. He said, they were, in fact, excited. They thought it was a great plan. And they said, when are you going to implement it? And he said, well, he said, I'm ready to start, but I'm going to need help. And the church board told him, we didn't ask you to develop a plan for us to do. We asked you to develop a plan for you to do. You're going to build the church or you're going to leave. And he said, well, if you're not going to help, there's probably not very much I can do. Does that tell you anything? Does that tell you anything? So he had told me in our conversation, I said, it sounds to me like that church is heading for closing. He said, yep. And he said, they have $10,000 in an exit fund. They put $10,000 in the bank in a fund that they agreed not to touch so that if the church closed, they would have the money to pay all the bills and get the building closed down. What a plan! Glory to God! Woo! Does that make any sense to anybody else in here? Because it didn't make any sense to me. And that's Nazarene churches I'm talking about in the state of Iowa, where they're so worried about money that they have but won't spend a dime of it. Now, don't be looking around right now. But some of you know people like that right now. Some of you know people, they got money, they just won't turn it loose. And so we take up an offering or we say something like that. We do Kids Against Hunger, and people go, oh, I'd love to, but I know it's good. I know it's good, feeding children and giving them some gifts. That's a good thing. It spreads the gospel, but, well, I just don't have it. And what they mean is you're not going to get it. That's really what they mean. I got it, but I got to hold on to it. So I'm back to my notes. That is sad on more than one level. A, this is an ABC. It is pointless greed. Greed. What is the point? What's the point of hoarding away money? Some of you already know the story, the rest of the story. The older couple had two sons. One of them never married. He was rich too. He was their son. He was rich. The other brother, he was married and had one son. Heir apparent to it all. One kid. He turned 18 and bought a semi-truck. You've heard this story before? 18 years old. All he wanted to do was drive a log truck. He went out and bought a brand spanking new one because he was rich. 18-year-old kid. Went around a curve one day, couldn't handle a load of logs, lost control, flipped the truck, died. I don't know who got all that money. They were rich, millionaires. Land, timber, oil, and nobody to care. What does it profit to lay up treasures on earth? Didn't we just read that verse? What does it profit to lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust or death destroys? See, that's a real problem. And I don't even know if they were greedy or if they just didn't understand what they had. I don't even know the truth of that. I'm just telling you, they lived like paupers and were millionaires. Crazy, crazy. Letter B, it may hurt your own family. You may hurt your own family by doing that. And C, it certainly is not kingdom-minded. It's not God's kingdom-minded. Let me tell you the other flip side of that thing, too. People die who have hoarded their money for years and years, and their kids, bam, it's gone like that. Woo! Woo! So if you're rich tonight and you think your kids aren't going to spend it wisely, give it to the church. That's a great plan. We'll spend it wisely. We'll do something with it to get people saved. Wow, man. If you're really, really rich, I'm still available for adoption. It's not too late. Would you agree with me that where your treasure is would also be where your kingdom is, based on that verse? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where your treasure is, there is your kingdom. I put in my notes, not ha-ha now. It's funny that many of those people do not give any money to the church. It's just crazy. The first group that I talked about don't give because they don't have it. The second group won't give anything to anything because they fear they'll run out of money. Crazy. Both of these examples are back to that dichotomy of thought. Day-to-day living, not with the kingdom of God in mind, keeps them separate. Spiritual things on Sunday, day-to-day living the other 6 days, and I do not mix them together. I do not mix them together. Wow. So, my last thought. Can it possibly be that easy? Can it possibly be that easy? And I'm in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now see, if you do that, that means that on Sunday you seek the kingdom of God, and on Monday you seek the kingdom of God, and on like Tuesday and Wednesday you go ahead and still seek the kingdom of God, and then Thursday you keep seeking the kingdom of God, and Friday and Saturday you keep seeking the kingdom of God, so that you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things are added to you. So the short answer, can it be that easy? The short answer is no, it's not that easy. What are you talking about? You and I still have to make good decisions. We have to decide either to cut the credit card up or use it wisely. And I'm not even opposed to a credit card at all. You say, you got any money in the bank, preacher? I do. I have a retirement fund. You know, I'm going to die someday, and my goal is to leave my wife so that she can live at least probably a year, maybe two, and then she's got to go to work. I've told her how sad that is. She doesn't work right this minute except helping me, which is a full-time job. But I said, baby, here's the bad news. If I die, I can't leave you enough. I can't leave you set for life. Doesn't work that way in Preacherville. I said, but I'll try to give you enough time to sit back and think about life a little bit and go, wow, he was better than I thought. Because you're going to miss me when I'm gone. Somebody ought to write a song right now. I'm just thinking about that. But I can't leave my wife set for life. I can't do it. So she knows that if something happens to me, she'll probably have to go back to work and do whatever you have to do. So, is it a sin to have a savings account? Now, based on my sermon up to right now, is it a sin to have, not a savings, I don't have a savings account. I have a retirement fund. I do not have a savings account because what would I put in it? I don't know what I would put in it. So, I have a retirement fund because that's the way the Church of the Nazarene does it. We put in money and it stores up and it's there. But I'm not laying up treasures so that I don't take care of stuff now. That's just an aside, because if you retire, you still want to, like, say, what am I going to eat, and what am I going to drink, and what am I going to wear, that's still there. So I'm not talking about being dumber than a post about things, where you go back to point number one and say, I'll worry about that next week. Today, we're going to have fun. Who needs money? Yeah, well, you need money. So, I just wish there was a verse that would indicate to us that God is okay with us holding on to a little bit, and he has to tell you. I can't tell anybody how much is too much to have. I think if I was in the government, I'd make it a rule that nobody in America could make over $2 million a year in income. With $2 million, you pay about 30%, and after $2 million, 100%. Just take it all from them. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be good? Who needs more than $2 million? Then I'd make it another rule, and I would say, every year, if you have $2 million in the bank, we'll let you have 10% in interest, but anything over that you make, you can never have more than $220,000 in a year. We'll take that from you. Who needs that much money, right? See, all the Americans in here are going, that ain't how it works. That's not how it works. We don't want the government to take everything from us. That's not how. Yeah, I know. See, I told you this morning, we're Americans, and we look at it different. You go to Africa, you go to some of these countries where they have nothing, they could care less about taxes. They could care less about anything. They have nothing. And all they do is trust God every day. We don't. I said it this morning, I seriously believe this sermon explains why some people say 6 days a week are mine, and I do worry about it. I sweat about it. That one day I'm going to give to God, I'm going to kick back, I'm going to enjoy the day, I'm not going to worry. That's two different things, preacher. You don't understand. Right, right. I don't understand. No. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's not a magic potion for wealth, because he didn't promise wealth. He says, I know what you have need of. And the girl last night, she shared that one time, this was the coolest thing in the world. The school got very few things donated to them. And so they used the reward system where they said, if you're really, really good, we will decide who's really, really good, and we will give you some of the things that were donated based on whether you're good enough. Now, you listen to what I'm saying. Once she got a brand new shirt, a white shirt. She said it was brand new, and it was the whitest shirt she'd ever seen, because she'd never seen a brand new white shirt. And so she was very happy, and she said, I earned that shirt by being good. And she said, one day, the teacher told them, no more classes the rest of the day. Everybody go to the gym. We have a great surprise. She said, I had no idea what was coming, but all I heard was, no more classes the rest of the day. She said, I didn't care. That was my surprise. She said, we went to the gym, and these people came in there, and they had all these boxes, and they started handing them out. Every child in that orphanage got a box, and said they took a few minutes, and they said, we're giving you these because Jesus loves you. You don't have to do anything good for Jesus to love you. And she said, my mind, 10 years old, she said, my mind said, wow, all my life, I've been told you will only get a reward if you do really, really good. And now these people are saying Jesus isn't like that. He will give you what his gift, even though you don't deserve it, because he loves you. She said, that day, I realized there's something very different between the people who run this orphanage and Jesus. And obviously, today she's a Christian living in America and has never forgotten her shoebox. Wow. Wow. Could you imagine that you fill a shoebox and somebody like her gets that shoebox, what that would mean to the kingdom? Wow. But see, we say, I don't have the money. I don't have the money. Oh, yeah, you do. I I could go to Dollar General, but I'll have to charge it. Okay, well, you're used to that. Charge it. Go ahead. Just this once. That was bad. I take that back. Don't do it. Is it a sin to have a savings account? Is it a sin to have a car? Is it a sin to have a house? Somewhere, what nobody else in the world has, we have as Americans, and we're blessed because of it. But then, if we're not giving back to God out of the abundance of His blessings to us, where does that put our kingdom? It puts it over here. So let me give you my verse. This is my verse. It's in Proverbs 27, 23 and 24. Be diligent to know the... Now you realize we're in an agrarian society here. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. Man, y'all realize God laid this on my heart to preach. And the first verse that came was, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the increase of his government there shall be no end. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the throne of David and his kingdom. Remember that this morning? That was the first verse that came to me talking about kingdom. And all I did was take a concordance and start looking up anything on kingdom or anything having to do with it. And I found this verse. I just looked it up on crowns, on crown. And I found this verse. Riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. It's so easy to understand. Your herds and your flocks in that day was your wealth. And God says, take care of your herds and your flocks. Know the state of them. Know what you got. But just remember, the day you close your eyes and begin to assume room temperature, anything you had will no longer be yours. We joked Mr. DeVere so bad, he bought a Cadillac. Years ago, he bought a Cadillac, and he had said too many times before, and I'd heard him. He said, well, I'll tell you, when I ride in a Cadillac, I'm going to be on my way to the funeral. On my way to the cemetery. And he said, and there won't be a U-Haul hooked to the back of it either. We used to joke him about that all the time because he went and bought a U-Haul. He went and bought a Cadillac from a funeral home. I thought that was just an irony like crazy. So he rode in a Cadillac before. But I'm going to tell you this. The day you die, you could have all the money there is, but you won't have it anymore. And I believe seconds after that, you will wish you had done things different. So you know what? And I'm not saying make yourself penniless. I wouldn't say that for all the money in the world. I'm not doing that. But I try to be very generous toward God. I try to be very generous toward people. I try to think about this. And this is all he says. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. All that means is to think about the kingdom of God. And then you won't go buy things that you can't afford. You may have to from time to time. Emergencies come up. You may have to make a purchase that you have to put it on a credit card. But you don't make a habit of that until you have $16,000 in credit card debt. And that's average in this country. Can you imagine that there are people with double that? Can you Well, some of you, I don't know. I can't look out there and know. Can you imagine owing on credit cards $20,000? Can I tell you, I'm looking at a woman back there. Sleep would be gone. She'd never take another nap. She would not sleep. Debt drives her nuts. Thank God for me. She's my bookkeeper. When I go to the bank, now I'll give you a fast example. We're going to be done. We do a Christmas club because she knows that she cannot spend on those kids what she wants to. Just based on my money, so she has to save. So we put a certain amount every week in the bank, and at the Christmas time, she has this money, and that's what she spends. I went over there one day, and a lady that doesn't normally wait on me came over to the window, and she was trying to do my business, and I said, I want to make sure where we're at on the Christmas club. And the lady said, oh, I don't know. And I was like, okay, you didn't understand what I said. I want to know where we're at on the Christmas club. And the other lady that normally waits on me came and moved and said, I'll get this. She wants to know today. She didn't say he wants to know. He said she wants to know because she knew I don't care or know. She knew I was asking for her. And she looked it up and she said, you're right on schedule, like always. She told me one day all the ladies in the bank look at her Christmas club to see if they're behind. Because she's never behind, not once, and hasn't been in years. Because that's, praise God. Praise God. Man, if you ain't got one, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I found that in 40 years ago. Whew, hadn't traded her in either. That's good. That's a good deal. Wrong to have a savings account? No, not at all. Purpose for it? Yep. Buying stuff we don't need? Try not to. Don't be foolish. 6 days a week, that, one day a week, this. You got to merge them. You got to merge them. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other things will fall into the correct order. That's really the way I view that verse. Doesn't mean you'll never be concerned or never have a thought, man, what are we going to do? It means God knows what you have need of, and he will help you. He will give you direction. He will. I mean, from time to time, wow, he will answer a prayer that you may have not even prayed because you were just worried, but God comes through. Man, God is good, but he wants 7 days, not one. He wants all your week, and he doesn't want you to think of your day-to-day world separate from his world, because he can't be the king if you wear a crown 6 days and try to wear his one day a week. It just doesn't work that way. Stand with me tonight. God wants us to take care of our business. He does. God wants us to take care of our business, but it starts by putting him first in our business, whatever that is. I don't mean owning a business. I mean our business affairs, because then it spills over into every other aspect of life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All those other things will be added to you. Father, go with us tonight. Bless us, help us, encourage hearts. Lord, probably in a crowd this size, I was talking to people on both ends of the spectrum. Probably in a crowd this size, I was talking to some people who are underwater, debt-wise, and they don't know what to do about it. Probably there's some people who hold back and say, well, what if I run out? What if I don't have enough for me? And they're not really trusting you. So, Lord, somewhere on each end of the spectrum, you need to work. But somewhere all the way in between where all the rest of us are, you need to work too. Because I want to improve at that. I am blessed tonight, Lord. I've joked with my wife, but I am blessed that she takes good care of our business. I'm grateful. And Lord, if people would just train themselves to manage, it would help them in your kingdom, because they would have more to share and to give to others. Help us think about that tonight, Lord. It's hard, but we're talking about taking off one crown and putting on another. And that crown is the crown of life. Go with us now this week as we go out for the next 6 days and deal with the day-to-day life that we all have to face. Go with us in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,